Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 297, and here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the past week. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and we've got a bunch of topics for this week. Big news concerning Embracer Group. And then just a couple of other pieces of information here and there. I thought I was going to have my kiddo helping me do the show today, for better or worse. But he decided at the last minute that he would rather just go play. And that's fine. So hope everyone's been doing well. I apologize if I sound a little nasally. I've got some congestion going on. But what are you going to do? It's allergy season, so. Why don't we get right into things and not wait? So, here we go. So I mentioned Embracer Group was the big news, and that is first up. So The Verge reports that corporate conglomerate Embracer, who owns something like 110 different companies, is now splitting up. It's going to be sort of divested into three separate companies. Asmodee, which is one of the companies that they owned, So that's going to sort of become the larger brand for their tabletop gaming division. Asmodee makes a bunch of like different card games and board games. Coffee Stain and Friends, which is going to focus on indie, mid-market, and free-to-play games, mostly mobile titles. And then Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which is going to be sort of their AAA games division. And that is retaining the licenses and the IPs for Dead Island, Tomb Raider, Kingdom Come Deliverance, and Lord of the Rings, and all various Lord of the Rings titles, which coincidentally, we have one of those that we're going to be talking about later. Notably, Embracer's CEO, Lars Wingefors, admits that based on past performance and what's going on here, he admits that he, quote, deserves a lot of criticism, which I think is like an understatement of the century. So funny thing was, like, as part of that statement, he then immediately like doubled down on believing that all of the decisions that he made were the correct decisions and the right decisions. So for folks who have been keeping score at home, Embracer Digital is the one who like shut down a whole bunch of studios. They sold off Gearbox. I think it was they shut down Crystal Dynamics. And a bunch of other stuff like that. We've definitely talked about them on the podcast before, as just an example of like how bad things have gotten in the games industry. And notably, so Gearbox is no longer a part of this. Like, they were picked up by Take-Two. So unfortunately, Tomb Raider still falls under these guys. So it'd be weird that like Tomb Raider will be, you know, published by Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. That just seems like a weird crossover of brand IPs. Next up, Epic versus Apple. This is coming back, folks. The legal battle between the two, starting back up. Basically, Epic's, I don't know if it's an appeal, but they had asked for an injunction, and it was granted. due to this all still goes back to essentially Epic wanted to try and introduce other avenues of payment to circumvent App Store fees. And then Apple brought it to court. And so the latest in that is it was ruled that Apple, you know, and Google like have to allow them to be able to link to like an alternate payment vendor so that they, you know, that they could bypass the fees. But now what Apple's been doing is then charging like a like surcharge fee to do that. And so and basically to like and for the amount that makes up for any revenue lost by doing that transaction. So basically Epic's come back and said like this changes nothing. They're just doing this to circumvent not having to pay it before. Judge agreed. And so now it's going to go back to court. So yeah, things are, it's still heating up. And the funny thing is like how Google's just kind of like sitting on the sidelines, just like waiting to see what happens with this. So yeah, ultimately, it's, you are supposed to be able to offer, like your own payment platform. You can't, you just can't do it directly in the app itself. Like you have to link out elsewhere, but, there are stipulations that are in place to allow you to do that. And Apple is then putting their own restrictions on that. So things like that they ruled that there's only certain way, like Apple's claiming that there's only specific ways that you can do a button, which results in it not actually being a button, in order to take you to an outside site. So this is ultimately so that kids can buy Fortnite bucks or whatever, or V-Bucks or whatever they're called, for Fortnite. So yeah, shaping up to be quite the court battle. next up, less corporate greed this time. So Humble Bundle has a farming sim bundle. So I know there's a little bit of overlap in interest in farming sims and interest in this podcast. So yeah, there's a $20 farming sim bundle. It's available right now until May 10th. Benefits from or proceeds from this bundle will go towards Kiss the Ground, which is an organization that helps promote education and initiatives to do regenerative agriculture. So forms of agriculture that like help put nutrients back into the soil and the landscape and help like regrow like and be sustainable. So super good. And also, you know, help climate change and things like that. As part of that, the bundle includes the Witch of Fern Island Cornucopia, Immortal Life, Cattails Wildwood Story, Icone Island, Everdream Valley, Littlewood, and No Place Like Home. So, and $20 bundle, you get all 8 games. But it's Humble Bundle, so if you are unable to pay $20 or, you know, you just want like a smaller bundle, they have the sliding scale structure, for sort of pay what you want. They did. It's like $127 value. All of these games are like rated at least 70% positively on Steam. And I can attest, Littlewood, I have played personally. I have it both on Steam and on Switch. It's very good. The other ones I haven't played myself, but, you know, again, all rated very positively. So, yeah. So always glad to see Humble Bundle. They do great work, raising funds for charity. So, I just wanted to give this a shout out, because it is a farming sim bundle. And since I do a farming sim stream, you know, fortunately Stardew Valley, not part of the bundle, but I mean, it's 2024. If you don't have Stardew Valley on some sort of platform, what are you doing? But yeah, so again, bundle is good through May 10th. So, yeah, go check it out. Next up, Roll20. Polygon reports that the digital TTRPG platform is working on Discord integration using the... It's like activities feature in Discord. And so what you would do is you'd be able to like view Roll20 like as an activity. And so the GM would like load up Roll20 in the browser, get everything set up, and then like import it into Discord. So that then your players don't need to have a browser and Discord open. And it allows you to more natively use Discord's video chat. Because Roll20s is awful. The only problem is the GM still needs to keep the browser. It seems like the GM still needs to keep the browser open. Because like it won't be, you won't be able to edit stuff within Discord. Because it's just like sort of rebroadcasting it. So I don't know how useful this will be, as compared to just having both windows open, but you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe if your group is one where your players aren't really manipulating things on the map, this could work. Or if you do everything in chat, like if you, but again, I don't know, because if you're not doing it in Roll20 chat, yeah, I'm not sure. But they are working on more integrations, and I guess this is coming with a big update to Roll20. So very exciting for folks who play TTRPGs online. And to have this option for integration with Discord, you know, Discord being probably one of the biggest video chat platforms happening these days. So it would just be nice to like have it be a little bit more integration so that you could run, you could actually run everything from within Discord. But as I said, it seems like you'll still have to have a browser window open for it, which maybe defeats the purpose. Or potentially, I don't know, if you, if it could use less resources, like if there's like a, you know, lower graphics version that you could, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. So yeah. Next up, Tales of the Shire. So this is the Lord of the Rings game that I mentioned. So this is coming from Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. But The Verge reports that this will be an Animal Crossing style game. So this will be sort of a life, potentially farming, maybe sim. you know, set in the Shire in Middle Earth. It's coming fall 2024 to consoles and PC. Admittedly, art style is a little bit of a turnoff for me. You know, it feels like they could have maybe made some artistic decisions. Because, like, graphically, it's not super impressive. But it feels like maybe there was some art direction that could have been introduced to make up for sort of the graphical style. It's like a little bit of like Skyward Sword level graphics. But the faces are like a little weird. Just in that, like, they're not very well detailed. I guess if you're used to sort of like very round hobbits, like, I guess that's just the impression that you get from like the movies or from a lot of like older artwork, is hobbits are just sort of like, in terms of shapes and character design, like, they're very round. Whereas these are, you know, just sort of like little half elves. that said, that is, you know, until we see kind of gameplay and performance, that's kind of my only gripe. And again, like, it's not that the graphics are bad. It's just that they're a little off-putting for me. But otherwise, pretty excited. Lord of the Rings, great. I think, like, a lot of the titles that have been produced for Lord of the Rings IPs have been pretty decent. And so for them to do the similarities to Animal Crossing are pretty prevalent. You know, it's a lot of the same activities. So fishing, collecting stuff, putting furniture in your house, redecorating your little hobbit hole, having, like, meeting other members of Hobbiton. I think it might be in Hobbiton. If not, it's in one of the other communities in the Shire. So, like, meeting other hobbits in the community, having them over for events and stuff. I don't think it had any word as far as multiplayer, though. So that's something to keep an eye on. Fall 2024, so 6 months? Not 6 months. Maybe 5 to 6 months. We'll see. And if it gets delayed, then potentially a holiday release. So, be a good time for that. So, very exciting. Does have fishing for those who keep track of what I tend to keep track on for video games is, you know, some games are like, can you pet the dog? Mine is, you know, can you fish? So this one you can fish. And we'll have to see what sort of fishing subsystem and type of activity that becomes, whether it has a subsystem and a mini game attached to it, or if it's just sort of a quick time event, like Animal Crossing is. And as I said, console, it's coming to Switch, coming to PC, so likely coming to Xbox. I'd imagine it's coming to PS5. Actually, we can just see right now. Yes. Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, and PC via Steam. Developed by Weta Workshop Game Studio, which is a division of Weta Workshop. So, cool. Very excited about that. And finally, our last bit of news. So, World of Warcraft. Some headlines this week. There was an interview with director Ian Hazzacostas that basically kind of discussing the controversial idea of paid early access as part of like a legendary or epic edition of the latest expansion. So if you purchase like an upgraded collector's edition type thing, you get 3 advanced days of playtime with the expansion. This is ruffling a bunch of feathers because like it's basically like you're paying extra for that early access. So personal opinion, on the one hand, yeah, it's not great. However, realistically, an extra 3 days of game time doesn't really matter. Like, and especially for the people that it matters to, they were likely already going to purchase one of those bundles anyway. You know, because it's going to be like the people that care about being able to jump in right away before anybody else are people like looking to do like competitive rating or world firsts for some sort of achievement. In which case, like they were probably going to buy this bundle. So I think it's more of controversial on the principle of it as opposed to the reality of the situation. So realistically, I did pre-order the expansion, and I don't even know if the bundle I got comes with it or not. But again, you know, I'm not concerned personally, you know, if like it, let's say that I don't have it and other people are in the game 3 days ahead of launch day. I don't know. I think the reason why I'm kind of on the fence of like, you know, the principle might not be great, but it's also is, it gets us people in the game, in the game earlier, obviously with early access. But it also means that it kind of spreads out your launch day over the course of 3 days, like 3-4 days. Which might help server load. You know, I'd actually be interested to see how the launch of this expansion goes with that early access in there. You know, because if it means like people are getting in, being able to, you know, get in there and especially like if they're really cruising and just absolutely skipping most of the content to get to endgame, if that means that like starter areas for the new expansion are going to be more stable than they typically would be, you know, on what would be day one of retail launch. So yeah. But ultimately, yeah, it's a little controversial just of if this should be a thing for a game where like you already pay a monthly subscription and then you pay for the content in an expansion. And then there's also an in-game shop. yeah. Tangentially related, because it's Blizzard, there is no BlizzCon for 2024. That was confirmed. It's theorized that this is related to a Microsoft thing. Blizzard did say, at least for now, you know, there are plans in place to do future BlizzCons. So I don't know how much of it is Microsoft coming in and saying, like, you don't need to do this big convention anymore. It's just a big waste of money. But yeah. So at least for now, for this year, no BlizzCon. Unclear if they would do their own sort of digital presentation, or if now their stuff is going to get rolled into, I don't know, whatever Microsoft does. Because, like, Nintendo does Directs and Sony does, like, State of Play. I don't know what Microsoft does as far as digital presentations, if they do anything at all. So, or if they just leave it up to individual studios to do stuff. But, yeah. That is going to wrap up the news for this week. So, thank you all for joining me. As always, if you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out our website at 8bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support that content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/8bitadventures. Patrons can get benefits for as little as $1 a month, which is a little bit of a cheaper option if you don't want to subscribe on Twitch. Times are monetarily tough, just also engaging with the content helps. So make sure, like, subscribe, follow, get your notifications, whatever, action items. call to actions, all that stuff. Big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you for your continued support. Opening theme of the podcast is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. All of this stuff will be in the video description on both YouTube and Twitch for the VOD, and in the sort of written description for the audio podcast. I think that covers everything. So, hope you all have a great week. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.